NFTs. I want to bring in now Ronald Lamola, who is the Justice Minister. Minister, thank you for making time. Good morning.
Good morning, Clement, and to the listeners.
There are a number of promises and commitments the President made last year when it comes to, you know, enforcement agencies like the NPA, when it comes to fighting corruption. What would you say are some of the achievements of the JCPS cluster over the last year, when it, especially the commitments the President made?
Thank you, Clement. And from the commitments that the President had made was to bolster in terms of resources the department and also the NPA, which was done, and the NPA was able to do its work, including the investigative directorate that was bolstered. As you'll be aware, in the last 3 years, the NPA has appointed more than 1,000 aspirant prosecutors to revive the program of aspirant prosecutors, which is the recruiting source for the NPA, which is very important for its renewal. So there has been movement and action in that regard.
And when it comes to the State Capture Commission's report, I know what the President committed to last year was to give a status update on how government will be responding on that front. What's been done? Because the thing about South Africans is it's not enough to say, oh, this is what the State Capture Commission has found and this is what the President commits to doing. Is they want to see people being arrested. Are we getting any closer to that?
Now, as you are aware, some of the trial on the related to the state capture are already underway, and there is a number of cases in the pipeline which many people are aware of, and also the process that we committed to Parliament to make the ID permanent. We have started internally in the department. We will maybe in the next 3 months or so release the paper in that regard, which will also guide the process of the bill, which is to strengthen also the role of the ID, because most of the cases, as you are aware, may take more than the period for which the ID has been proclaimed of, which was about 5 years. So the ID needs to have a more permanent type of a lifespan. So there is indeed work on that front, including the issues that the Commission raised with regards to whistleblowers. As you are aware, there is a loophole in terms of us helping witnesses who are under the Witness Protection Act, who are already going to testify in court. That is a loophole, because when you are a whistleblower, the regulations, including the Protected Disclosure Act, has got a loophole. How do we then protect? So those are all measures that we are working on, and soon measures to respond to that will be announced.
All right. And what other legislation are you putting in place when it comes to the whistleblowers? Because I remember in the State Capture Commission's report, the then Deputy Chief Justice said, you know, the whistleblowers need to be protected from victimization. So you've got to review, which is what you're doing, the Witness Protection Act, to give effect to the Commission's recommendations. Immunity from prosecution, is that something that's going to come? Immunity from you know, criminals arising from those honest disclosures?
It is the Witness Protection Act, the Protected Disclosure Act.
Yeah.
And obviously there are things that between the witnesses and so forth, they themselves and the NPA, they can be able to find a workable solution. As you are aware, there are 2 or 4 witnesses and so forth. So that is in the course of handling the matter.
Okay. I want to ask you about the NPA and that issue of private funding, because there's been mixed reaction to whether or not that's the best way to go. Maybe first remind us on what's the final position that's been taken on that. Is the NPA going to go out and receive and accept private funding? And how are you going to put in protection measures so that there's no, you know, some level of influence, as some people are concerned about?
Yeah, and that is exactly what we have been clarifying to society, that when it comes to this issue, the NPA has always been working with Business Against Crime in this country, and also the SAPS. They've been working, including to share some resources. And what we have now put in place is governance mechanism, frameworks, accountability measures. If there is any input from the compactum of business in the country that they want to make in the fight against crime or corruption, and that will be done through the National Treasury prescripts and regulations, and it will come as an appropriation, as it happens to any type of government. The NPA will not be the one that says yourself come to us and all that. So all those policies, or what I'm talking about as the guidelines and regulations, are aimed to ensure that the NPA is insulated. They only do the job that they are supposed to do, which is to prosecute independently and without any fear or favor.
And practically speaking, what are some of those guidelines? Like, what are you going to, like, check thoroughly the businesses that are offering their assistance, to see their links, to see what intentions they may have and their, you know, connections to some powerful people? I'm just trying to understand how thorough is going to be those guidelines to make sure you insulate the NPA from any possible interference.
They are as thorough as is practically possible. As I've said, it will be done through the PFMA, the Treasury regulations, which govern the issues of appropriation of funds to any institutions, whether they come through any means, whether it's the fiscus or any other means that funds could come through. So the mechanisms we believe can withstand scrutiny and will ensure the transparency, will also ensure the insulation of the NPA from any capture or influence, either from business, civil society, government, or any other forum in society. And most of the participants, it's not like it's one kind of a business saying, for example, a big institution that says we are providing this resource. It's an association of South African businesses like BUSA, working and so forth. So that is it's a kind of intervention that we need. I mean, the NPA does need some of the skills that may come in kind. For example, Clement, they deal with very complex matters that needs forensic chartered accountants, that needs forensic data analyst, that needs digital forensics. And such competency or expertise, you can only find it in the private sector. They are saying they will be prepared to do it in kind. So these guidelines will then provide means how can such in kind input be done, and also be ensured that it is in line with the NPA Act and the Constitution of the country, which we really need to help the institution to function, because the skill is there to deal with some of the matters they are dealing with, which spans jurisdictions, the US, Hong Kong, very complex matters that they deal with. You need such kind of skills that is in abundance in the South African private sector.
Yeah, and speaking of jurisdictions, I want to talk about Dubai now. How close are we to bringing those Gupta brothers to South Africa to face prosecution? Any update on their arrest and the status of that extradition process?
They are still in custody. What we are awaiting for is a date of a court date where the matter will be heard in the UAE to decide whether they are extraditable or not, which we hope is gonna sit soon. We just don't know when, but we are hopeful that the date will be set and the matter will be heard. And we are still confident that they will definitely come back to account for their issues here in the country.
All right. Ronald Lamola, the Justice and Correctional Services Minister, thank you so much for your time.